presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Banded together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 141 of the Let's Go Comic Show, part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop, where we talk about comics, comic book movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, and then we rate them. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Justin?
Superman does good. You're doing well. That just reminded
You're
doing
me well.
Of, that reminded me of...
Check your grammar, son.
From 30 Rock.
30 Rock, dude.
Oh, man, that was a good show.
Tracy Jordan talking to Twofer.
Tracy Jordan, just, dude.
So good.
Where are my French fries that I did not ask for?
Do not look at me directly in the eyes.
Oh, man, we need to do 30 Rock as a recast one day. We're going to do a recast. Gosh. Maybe next week we'll do recast.
So much.
Oh, man, I love 30 Rock.
He's
old after six. What am I, a farmer? Why are you wearing a tuxedo? Sorry.
Oh man. So I didn't tell you this yet, but I finally got around to watching Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition this week.
That's pretty timely.
Finally did.
Nice.
I thought, you know, might as well check it out. See what hullabaloo is about.
Before you talk about it, let's talk about our rating system, and then you can rate it, and then we can like jump in a little bit.
I guess that's probably a good order to do things in.
Yeah. All right, Matt. What's our rating system?
Let's go rating system. Starts at the top with a gotta go.
Oh.
Below that is a let's go.
All right.
Below that is a go. Below that is a don't go. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom is trash juice.
Trash juice. Okay, so let's rate the theatrical version first. What did you think of the theatrical cut of BVS many years ago, 2016?
It was a go bordering on a don't go. It was a go. It had enough cool things in it,
yeah, like
visuals and stuff, that I would say it was a go.
Okay. All right. For me, I think I was just at a let's go. I enjoyed it, but there was things I did not care for, like Lex Luthor. And I did not like Doomsday, nor did I like Superman dying, but I did like how the funeral scene worked.
Mm.
So, I like Bruce and Diana's like conversation, and the music all worked for me. So
cool.
But okay. So now, oh man, I wish I would have watched it with you somehow through computer science.
I
thought that too. Cause we all watched it. Fun. We watched it like 2 months ago, like the rest of the crew. Remember we did that live tweet watch thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Matt Ritchie. Drum roll, please. It's like in Christmas Vacation, they're all...
we'll insert it in post.
Yeah. All right.
It's still a go.
Really?
There were absolutely some improvements, but I think along with the plot improvements where things at least made a little more sense.
Yeah.
It like traded that off with feeling like it dragged out a little bit more to me. Like I wanted things to kind of get moving a little more, but I appreciated that things connected a lot better. Like I was like, okay, it actually makes sense why Clark/Superman is kind of on his like bent that he's on. Like I get that a little more.
Yeah.
The trying to frame him and get Batman mad at him, that makes more sense. Lex Luthor's machinations, like all of those things are a lot better.
Well, it definitely, especially just the lady from Africa, from the village, like she's no longer a liar, you know? Well, you kind of sense that she's not a liar, but you don't really get the black and white like of it. You don't get the, like, she's been being used, you know, her family's in danger. You don't get any of that. And this starts painting the picture of like, oh shoot, Luthor is in deep, you know? And so I like that. It kind of, you know, what you find out anyways, but I like that it started pulling the threads a little bit earlier. and
totally
you're trying to follow along with it. And I loved Clark's investigative journalism type of stuff, you know.
There were just so many things about it. I was like, why did you cut out all that could get me on a whole other rabbit path, rabbit trail of what I think. But in general, it felt like it traded off one thing for another. I still, though, it felt like a better, more complete, like cohesive, like it actually made some sense to follow.
Yeah.
A lot more than the theatrical cut. I think it just came down to, I still didn't love some of the choices and stuff that were made. Like, even though this definitely was a better version of that, I think I just realized as I was watching, I was like, oh, okay. I think there's just something like lower level that's just not for me, which is fine. Like, I'm not gonna like look down on anybody that enjoys it or that, you know.
Yeah. I didn't like the added blood in this cut, like in the warehouse scene. Like in the warehouse scene, you know, Batman, you know, there's a particular scene where this guy gets thrown up against a wall and it like,
oh yeah, all that blood against it. Yeah.
Like that wasn't really necessary. Like it kind of, I think that got a little more glorified and stylistic. I didn't need that part, but overall I can look past it, but that was the part I was like, that was unnecessary. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Still cool visuals. Still, I think I like Affleck and Cavill and Gal Gadot. Like, they're all, I think, really good for their roles. I think I just didn't like some of the stuff that was written for them. And I think that's just like a preference thing on my part. Yeah.
Cool. We'll have to dissect it again when it's 5 years.
Oh, yeah. No, I would love to. And I definitely found myself like trying to remember, like, wait, what's extra? What's been added here? What was in the original? Yeah. Just, but I'm like, I'm not about to watch 5 hours of this. So I know which one.
side by side.
To compare and contrast. Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, I'm sure someone already has it on YouTube for you. So you can just watch it. Oh, for sure. Someone's got the Cliff Notes, dude, for you.
Every difference. Oh,
the Dummy's Guide to BVS. Oh. All right, cool. Well, let's stick to the theme of the, you know, Zack Snyder films. So last week we did a whole episode talking about the Snyder Cut being released and coming to HBO Max, which launched today, by the way. Hey, what's up,
HBO Max?
Launched today. But this won't be available till 2021. We don't know when. Probably, I would guess, like third quarter of 2021. I don't know. I'm just guessing. So a lot of news came out. As it's still starting to trickle, you know, we still don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be a, you know, 4 hour, 3 hour film, or is it going to be like a mini series? There's all those little things that they've kind of put out there. But one of the things that came out was this rumor that it's, you know, going to be $20 to $30 million to complete this film, right? That's kind of what they kind of put out there, or people were speculating. But so Matt, as he does, slid into my DMs. It's okay. Always. So he shares this article about, and I heard about this. I think I actually heard it last week because that's when the podcast came out, but we can talk about it. So HBO Max, head and, he's like the chairman of Warner Media, Bob Greenblatt. He just said the budget is way more than 30 million. And like that, he actually said that, he wished it was just 30 million to complete what's going on here. And so he said, this is his quote, "It isn't as easy as going into the vault and there's a Snyder Cut sitting there to put out. Zach is actually building it and it's complex, including, and I don't want to get into too much detail that we haven't already talked about yet, but new effects, shots, it's a radical rethinking of that movie and it's complicated and wildly expensive." I love it's wildly expensive, which is, of course,
I thought he said expansive. Either way,
sure. Yeah, it's accurate. Both. No, it's wildly expensive, which is, of course, a number I won't quote. I'll just say I wish it was 30 million and stop there. So there, a very interesting like quote there for a number of reasons, because, okay, so this is now it's more than 20, like there it's between 20 and 30. Now we know it's more than that. It's more than 30 million. But for whatever reason, you know, HBO is like, let's do this. And HBO, Warner Brothers are the same company. They're just different hands, you know. This is how they're pushing their content out. But, you know, I read somewhere that HBO Max had like, you know, $8 billion to like put into new content. When you think about that, like 30, even 60 million is a drop in the hat. If they're like thinking, hey, man, this is going to get us subscribers, you know, not selling tickets. They're looking for new subscribers. And so how do you gauge that? I don't know. I don't work for a streamer, but I think they're just, let's do this. We're in the midst of trying to create exclusive content. This is exclusive content. And that's all I can really think of, you know, like what else were they going to do with the Snyder Cut? You know, what are your thoughts, Matt?
I think it's interesting because I've been thinking about it in the opposite direction when you put that number in perspective of thinking like, remember, like what's like a recent, like more like indie movie or whatever, like The Invisible Man, I think was like probably like 9 or 10 million to do the entire movie. And so it's so crazy to think like, hey, we're going to take and restructure and reimagine this giant blockbuster, and it's more than three times the amount of an entire other movie's budget. Yeah, that's just really crazy to me. But yeah, like, and I think it's interesting that he said it was a reimagining, like whatever. I don't want to misquote him. Sorry. What was the exact quote again? I don't have it in front of me. I guess I should.
I do. I will get right back to this quote here.
What did he call it?
Yeah, he said that it was a he's actually building it and it's complex. So I'm wondering if
a radical rethinking. That's what.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if he is changing things from his original story. You know what they say? They say Zach films everything that's in his storyboards. The only thing I guess he didn't film was the Martian Manhunter stuff. And there was a video today online with Zach, you know, talking, and there's, you know, there's a Martian Manhunter like kind of logo looking thing. Like
yeah, I saw that thing in the background.
So, you know, maybe they're going to film that. I don't know what to say, because what I don't want to say is say something and then someone's all, you said this on your episode and it happened. I just don't think that they're going to recast, but they're going to bring, you know, actors back, because then you got to pay them.
Yeah, reshoots. Right? Like, and then I think like they talked about even that same article or that same interview rather that he was in, they talked about like they needed to work stuff out with unions and stuff like that to make sure that everything's on the up and up. So, yeah. I mean, it's obviously a long, complicated process to get this going.
That's what they said. That stuff's already done. Like all of that stuff has already been happening since like, I guess, November. You know, so they've been having the hard conversations, the complicated, the business stuff's all been kind of hashed out. Now
on to the creative.
Yeah, now it's on to, okay, how do we get this thing out? And so a lot of stuff has been going on behind the scenes. And, you know, here we are. You know, even more so interesting when he did the BVS watch along in March, where he's like, oh, someone should make a sequel to this. And then just kind of cuts off, you know, like, so he already knew. He knew stuff was going on.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm here for it. I'm happy for him. I'm glad that he's able to make this thing happen. But the financial stuff is the stuff that always is which, you know, kind of trips me up, because I'm still like, dang, man, they're going to throw these dollars at it. But, you know, here's the thing that's involved now that wasn't involved then. AT&T. AT&T is a giant media conglomerate. They have more money. They just do. And they may see, this is an IP that we're okay to invest in, because what do they got? They've got Wonder Woman did really well. They got Wonder Woman 84, which they're hoping does well. Yeah. Aquaman did really well. You know, BVS didn't do what they wanted it to, but it did okay. I mean, it almost hit a billion. It almost hit 900 million. So it's not like it's a disappointing franchise. It makes money. There's marketing stuff there. So I think they're looking at like, maybe they're looking at realistic dollars. Like maybe this is a slow burn, a slow build. You know, it doesn't have to be every movie's a billion, even though they want it. But again, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying that as someone who has no idea what he's talking about. I just don't. And you know, that type of stuff you know, typically bores me. Like, oh, okay, like, okay, the box office and all that stuff. I want the movies to do well so I can see more of them. So, but here's the thing. The budget for Justice League estimated was $300 million.
Man.
$300 million.
Crazy.
Its worldwide gross was $658 million. So it made half back, you know, a little more than half back, but it definitely didn't make, you know, what they were hoping it would have made. I don't know if the $300 million budget was part of, you know, reshoots. Sometimes they have reshoots and stuff built into the budgets, you know, usually when they do a blockbuster like this. But they reshot a lot of stuff. This wasn't.
Yeah. Did you see those side by side pictures going around today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been seeing those for a while, though, like where it shows like you can see how puffy Affleck is. He's a little more like, oh, a little more, you know, Affleck than Affleck. That's an L. There's an L there, friends. There's an L. But yeah, the reshoots are definitely, like, you can totally tell, you know, especially from the trailer. Everything in the trailers is majority Zack Snyder stuff. And you're like, oh, where is that?
Yep, not there.
Yeah.
Cyborg, like, catching a car or blasting a police car out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. I'm curious, man. I'm very curious. My turn. Yeah. I some of the choices are, like, there is that part in the trailer where he's all, my turn. You know, he's straight up Batman. And then in the Whedon cut, it's all, I didn't bring a sword or something goofy. It's like, y'all spent money on that? Like, you thought that's going to bring him in.
That change.
You know what? Let's reshoot some of this stuff. Yeah, I don't know. What's going to be more fascinating about this is when they do a documentary about, like, what the freak happened? What happened?
True.
You know, we kind of know what happened, but did we really know what happened? I'm actually really interested in that. So, but
no idea, dude.
Huh?
I said no idea, man.
Yeah, but yeah, interesting. I think that, you know, I think AT&T and I think the way the world is going now with streaming and stuff like that, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Was this a worthy gamble? You know, it's worthy for somebody like Snyder, who's like, hey, I get to finish my story, and, you know, everyone who's wanted to see it. But business wise, is it a good business decision? I don't know. But moving on, kind of today,
sort of,
some more news came out connected to Zack Snyder. So today, Deadline put out some information, an exclusive. While there is no Man of Steel sequel in the works, they are hearing that Henry Cavill is in talks to reprise his role as Superman in the Warner Brothers DC Universe. Thank you for not calling it DCEU. I like it's just the DC Universe. We hear Cavill could come back in a couple different ways, not a standalone film, which that kind of sucks. Like,
boo.
In a freaking film.
Boo.
But maybe,
boo.
Maybe they are
kind
of testing the waters.
Call Chris back.
Right?
And just
oh, man.
He pitched, let's just do it, guys.
Yeah, do that. He clearly knows how to make a film. Anyways, it says they hear that Cavill would come back in a couple different ways, not a standalone film, but there are plans to put him back in the big red cape again. Sources with knowledge tell us. Warner Brothers is not developing a Man of Steel sequel, and Wonder Woman 84, Suicide Squad, they're all in the can. Superman isn't expected to make a cameo in Matt Reeves' The Batman. Duh. projects where Cavill could make a cameo are Shazam 2, Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam. Remember Dwayne Johnson? They share the same agent. And they've kind of hinted at that before, or Aquaman 2, which are the next productions to be prepped once COVID is over. So anyways, the trades typically don't put information out like that unless there's something going on. So and then Twitter has taken that as Henry Cavill's back. So all right. Yeah. I'll take it.
I mean, I have like real mixed feelings. What else is new? I have mixed feelings.
Yeah. Why?
Because on one hand, I'm really excited. Like, I want Henry Cavill back. I think he has the potential to be a really great Superman.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen that realized fully yet. I think we've seen glimpses of it.
Mm. I've really enjoyed him as Superman in everything he's done. Even with the mustache, like, like, not that I enjoyed how that looked, but I'm like, hey, you know what? I think he's Superman. When I think about Superman, I'm like, you're Superman.
Yeah, totally. I don't disagree with that. But I also don't know how I feel, how excited I am about him just being DC's Hulk. Like, where he's like not always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And just like, it just seems so dumb to me, honestly. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum before. Like, what... He's Superman. Like, you should have a flagship Superman thing. Like, of course he should be another one. So that's fun. That's great. But give other characters a chance. But good grief, people.
I don't think Superman's a flagship character anymore, though. We live in a post-Batman and Superman world. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, the Batman, like, and how it does. Because since Dark Knight Rises, which was the last true Batman film, right? The last, like, you know, he wasn't sharing the screen with anybody. We've seen Black Panther, we've seen Guardians of the Galaxy, we've seen Deadpool, we've seen all these other films. Aquaman make $1 billion. You know,
People are totally like,
I still think that Batman is a moneymaker, and I'm not saying
don't deny that. And I want it to be. Yeah. I want other characters to get a shot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I think that maybe people have moved on, maybe a little bit. I'm not saying that's where I'm thinking. I don't think that for myself, but I think maybe audiences are all, I think I'd rather watch, you know, Black Panther 2, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like that's a failure on the company's part to put writers in there that know what they're doing. I don't think that's the character.
I agree. I agree too. I agree with both. I mean, it sounds like I'm being wishy-washy. I'm not. I'm just saying, I think audience might be moving on, but I also think it's 100% on the studio. Like, dude, you have a guy like Henry Cavill who freaking looks like Superman, puts the work in, makes Superman films. He's there. He's on contract. He's not a huge star where he can throw his weight around a little bit. I think they tried that, and it just, you know, I think this guy's he's going to be a genre film actor, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he's like, you know, I'm going to do the Netflix show, you know, The Witcher. And he'll do, you know, whatever else kind of. And I think he's done great in everything he's done. Like, I loved him in Mission Impossible. Oh, dude, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was really great. He's a charming cat. Good. Yeah, and so I definitely think he's movie star status. He can be James Bond if he wants, you know. But I think he needs to go a run and finish a Superman run out. But here's what I think. I'm sorry, I'm getting to my point. Here's what I think that Warner Brothers might be toying with. If this is where they're going, I mean, tomorrow morning we can wake up and they're all, Man of Steel 2 and 3 is coming, you know, like this stuff always like changes. But what I think they're doing is they're testing the waters a little bit. So they're a little nervous with Superman right now, but they're like, hey, we're not really nervous about Aquaman 2, and we're not nervous about, you know, making Black Adam movie. So let's throw Superman in there for a little bit. Or whatever, you know, and see. And if people really respond well, okay, then Man of Steel 2 or whatever the heck they want to cut it, we'll pop one of those out. So that's kind of where I think they're going. Like, hey, let's test it. So not so much like where, you know, Marvel's issue with Hulk is they just can't make a Hulk movie without Universal, you know, getting in the midst of those dollars.
I thought it was funny to make that reference. I know.
I know. But I was just trying to... trying to go back to like where the win would be, like if people were like, yeah man, we do want a Superman movie, we want to see him go up against Brainiac and save the world, like they can do it. And so I think they're testing the water that way. Like, they could put him in a Hulk situation, but you know, they're hoping they can, you know, move him into, you know, a solo film again. So but I'm here for it. I'm here for all those things, because I just want
to
see the characters I like on the screen.
Be like whenever I read someone from WB saying how hard it is to adapt a Superman
so
story,
hard.
I feel like I hear, in my mind, I hear like 100 comic book writers' heads just slamming into walls. Just they feel like they're going insane. Like, with like, what are you talking about?
We literally work for the same company.
And it's been done before. Like, that's the thing too. It's like, you want human, like, not cheesy stories about this character. It's not like, oh, I don't know if there's any source material to draw from. There's so much.
Yeah.
And so I think, and maybe I just feel like influence from, I'm reading, still making my way through Grant Morrison's Super Gods, and he just talks a lot about the idea of Superman at the beginning of it. And I'm like, there's something about that that I don't think we're ever going to get past. If you know how to tap into that the right way.
Yeah. Well, all they need to do is listen to our episode a couple episodes ago where we talk about some Superman stories.
Oh, right.
Yeah. We got you covered.
I know, man. I know.
WB, we got you. So, oh boy. So there's that. That's, I don't know. Again, we'll see what happens tomorrow on Friday and see what other news. It is a weird world where, you know, if you go back 4 months ago, Snyder Cut ain't ever coming out for years, you know, and then Cavill's probably done as Superman. As much as he says, the cape's in my closet.
Oh, well, yeah, dude. And I don't know anything anymore. I fully admit that.
Yeah. Did we really know anything? No.
We didn't, but we made our comments like we were a little more sure. And now I'm like, I'm not sure of anything.
Like, I'm not sure anymore.
I'm not.
I don't know what to think. That's why you have to end everything with, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows will save you. Like, hey, I said, who knows? I said, I don't know if he'll be Superman again. Who knows? It's who kind knows? Of like, who knows? Who knows is right. So
yeah, works with your wife too. Totally gets you out of like getting in trouble for saying things are going to happen. I mean,
so, honey, who knows? Trash out. Who knows? Maybe I did. Maybe
we'll
I
go
did.
Have a nice dinner and go out and we'll get the babysitter. But I mean, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, that could change. It can change before we walk out the door. So, all right. So besides that news, comics and stuff came out this week and I did not pick anything up. I just kind of, my life is weird. I'm adjusting right now. So next week though, comics. Next week, comics are coming because I wanted to pick up Marauders because that was out. I was like, oh man, Marauders is back.
Yeah, Marvel had...
In Venom 25.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, some good stuff coming out. And DC, I think they had Justice League. It was like the next part of them going into, I think, hell.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah. They had some crazy stuff going on with Spectre. So that was good. But I was surprised by it. So, but yeah, we'll get into some floppies next week. But tonight, Matt, we're going to do some Q&As.
There's
a few questions that came in this very moment. And so I'm just going to make it happen. I wish we had a little snappy jingle. Jingle, 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 jingle. Q&A. Jingle, jingle, jingle. Q&A. There you go.
There you go. That's it.
Every time. That was it. So Jay Yaz from the internet. Jay Yaz from Comics Now. Go listen to it. Jay Yaz. You know, but his Twitter handle, it's confusing. It could be Ya Yaz because it's like J A Y A W S. And so not J. Anyways, look it up. I want to say Ya Yaz. I'm just going to call him Ya Yaz. Maybe that was intentional. Maybe I missed a joke. I don't know. Let us know, dude. I'm gonna text him tomorrow. I'll be like, "Hey, dude, was this intentional? Did I miss something?" So, Jay is a rad friend. And by the way, shout out to Jay because he's sending me a vintage suit Daredevil Marvel Legends. So it's coming to me in the mail. So
sweet.
Shout out to Jay.
Nice.
Thanks for that. It's coming. I can smell it with my radar sense. All right. What legacy? Oh, this is a good one. What legacy characters do you think deserve more love and attention? His examples are, like, say, Connor Hawk as Green Arrow, or Monica Rambeau as Captain Marvel. Thoughts?
Can I ask a clarifying question to you to
please.
Answer this question?
Please.
Do you think it needs to be a legacy character taking on the same mantle of that character of which they are a legacy of?
Wait, say that again.
There's so many legacy characters that are like generational, but they're not like taking on the same name of the character that they're legacy.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking like, I think this has to be the same mantle. I don't think it's Golden Age Green Lantern has Obsidian and Jade as a, you know, daughter and son. I think it's, no, you're literally becoming that character. Not to bring up a sore subject, but it's like a Barry Allen begat Wally West situation. I think that's where he's going. That's where I was going. I was thinking like, okay, who's a legacy character that deserves more love and attention? And so I'm thinking of a character that may have had some love for a little bit, and then they've kind of like moved to the wayside. So with his examples of Connor Hawk and Monica Rambeau, I actually think those are good ones. Did you ever read any of the Connor Hawk stories?
I did not.
Man, so at that point, obviously, Oliver Queen's dead. There's a really cool story in Justice League. I think it was Justice League 7, JLA, the Grant Morrison book, where he is stuck in the Watchtower, and they have kind of the trophy room, and he comes across like a set of trick arrows, and he's like, oh my gosh, Dad, you're going to be the death of me. Like, it's a really cool moment where he's like, all he has is his, you know, boxing glove and boomerang arrows.
Oh,
and
nice.
That's not who he is. He is not a trick arrow guy. He is a, you know, he's more traditional.
Yeah.
And so anyways, he was a cool character. He just kind of once, you know, he came back, why do you need two green arrows? You know, they do it for a little bit, and then it's like, nah, we all want to see Ollie. Peace out, Connor. And so he went and became a monk or something like that. I don't know. But yeah. I think it's hard to give attention to a legacy character if they continue with the mantle. So kind of tying in your thought, I think they just need to go on their own.
Cause that's path. Where I went. Like, the ones that I'm thinking of are ones that are part of that legacy, but they don't necessarily have that same code name, if that makes sense. Yeah.
No, that totally makes sense. So what are some examples you have?
I mean, I think Viv Vision.
Oh, okay.
I think it's such a cool character, especially coming out of, I mean, when Tom King and I'm trying to think.
The artist,
Gabriel Hernandez Walta. In The Vision, I think that series, you think about The Vision, you think, like, it's kind of, in my mind, it's exploring and looking at, like, examining what does it mean to actually be human through the lens of, you know, these creations that are not fully human. And so I think what a great kind of wealth of ideas and stories you have in a teenage or young adult version of that. And I think you saw a tiny bit of that when she was added to the cast of
Champions.
Gosh, my brain is broken right now. But I think you saw that a little bit in that, and I would have liked to see that done a little more. So I think Viv Vision is one that comes to mind for me.
So you think she got shortchanged a little bit?
Yeah, I would like to see, like, I just think there's like a lot of story potential there, a lot of good potential to mine there. And also in I don't know why I get to, like, I am thinking, I guess, of the younger characters, but maybe that just comes with the territory.
Yeah, I think that comes with legacy.
Is actually staying in Marvel, the Patriot, Eli Bradley.
Oh yeah.
I always liked him. I mean, I've gone on record saying I really liked the beginning of the Young Avengers run.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know, like Alan Heinberg and Jim Chung, he always stuck out to me as like a really interesting like aspect of, because he's a legacy character, but it's a really complicated legacy.
Yeah.
That's like connected to Captain America more as an idea than to Steve Rogers himself. And so I always thought he was cool, and he was like really shortchanged, because I feel like after that first bit of Young Avengers, he hasn't really done much of anything. There was a new in Secret Empire a couple years ago. There's a new Patriot, but I don't think it was him. It was someone kind of taking on that mantle. So yeah. Eli Bradley's another one for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually like that they made him a character, because that when they did the, it was Isaiah Bradley as the, like the first Captain America, since he was like a black soldier, they like that. Yeah, they like, they experimented on him. And so I love that they took that story and kind of like, hey, let's give it again, let's give it a little wrinkle. And so that was cool. And yeah, you kind of hope that they would do something with it. You know, I think that's such a, I think it's a real easy way to throw him into a group unless it's like, well, does he fit with the champions? You know?
Yeah.
Or does
champions
he,
was a whole other thing though. I feel like
yeah,
it was a cool idea. It like ended up not being executed as well as it could have been.
Yeah. I think my issue is I just hate the name Young Avengers.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Like, not great.
Like, yeah. Yeah. The young, like I wasn't a fan of Young Justice either. I don't like that name. I was like, just be the Teen Titans. That's who you all are. Anyways.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great pick. Far as Monica Rambeau, I don't have a lot of experience with her. Like I have some old comics that like I acquired from, you know, just my uncle and random people. So I always saw her on the cover of some Marvel books, like in the 200 era of Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she was Captain Marvel or if she was Photon. I feel like she had the same suit, which is kind of the black and white suit. Yeah. But it's cool. I think that she's actually going to get some more attention because she's going to be on the WandaVision show. Mm-hmm. So you see her as a little girl in Captain Marvel. And so she's definitely going to have some play coming out. So hopefully Marvel capitalizes on that. But yeah. I can't
really
speak.
Will she be on the Doctor Strange sequel too? Is she one of the ones?
I don't know. I haven't investigated so much, but I do know she was going to be on. Sorry about that. I do know she was going to be on WandaVision. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Did you have any other ones? I have another one I was thinking of.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I would say both Superboys. Getting the shaft. Like, I think I want more Jonathan Kent and I want more Connor Kent. I just think they're both such great characters. I think they're, especially right now in this moment, just nobody knows what to do with them. It feels like they're so underutilized. Though, excuse me, Connor is in the Young Justice book. It just still just doesn't seem like, I mean, I'm still always pining after the adventure comics days. Like, I just want more of that story. I want more of that Connor Kent story because I feel like he's such a compelling character and he's gotten to such a cool place and there's several different versions of him, but I feel like he's pretty quickly, like, maybe he's just used as like a story device, honestly, a plot device.
Hmm.
And then kind of pushed to the side once you get other characters in there. Yeah. Well, I guess what it felt like Young Justice, the cartoon did. Feels like Young Justice, the book is kind of like, it's kind of there. And then Jonathan Kent, like, man, what a great start. Like Super Sons.
Yeah.
And Tomasi's run on Superman for Rebirth, just both such excellent stories. And like, I just found myself just, I loved this character.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be a ton more stories. I think they're both underserved.
Yeah. I was thinking about Jonathan Kent. When was it? I think I was reading an article about some of the Bendis stuff and, you know, I think people are kind of hot and cold on it. I was thinking I think it's easy to bring Jonathan Kent back to like being what 10 or 11 or however old he was, you know. Mm-hmm. All you do is just pull him out of the time stream, like where right before he got lost, like, hey, let's just pull him out. Like, it works. Like,
totally. I think it's totally doable. Revert him. I'm saying I want to see it done though.
Yeah. But I also get that sometimes having two of the same type of a character makes one less special. You know, you kind of see it with Tim Drake fans, like, man, have a hard time with Damian because, like, man, like, Damian has kind of made Tim Drake obsolete in a sense, you know, like, Damian's Robin. So what are you going to do? Kill Damian? They brought him back, you know, but don't kill Tim. But he's been kind of like, I don't feel like Tim's found his niche outside of being, you know, the other Robin, you know, Red Robin. But like, he's, you know, I'm not a fan of the Drake thing. I think he was like a great example of a legacy character that kind of became very successful. I mean, he was the first Robin to have his own solo series that went like 100+ issues, right?
Totally.
And then it goes to the wayside, you know. And then side note, if you want to listen to a good podcast about Tim Drake, listen to Everyone Loves a Drake. It's with our buddies over there. So anyways, plug. Go check out that podcast where they go over like every issue and stuff. And I guessed it on the most current one. Hey, for JL May. But
I agree. So, like, man, Tim Drake is such a
great character. But I don't think he's been, I wouldn't say he's been mishandled. Well, I feel like he's mishandled now, but I don't.
Do you think
I feel
he could use some more love? Wasn't that Jay's wording?
Yeah, I think he could definitely use some more love, and put in put him in the Bat books. Give him some stuff to do. Not just little appearances, but have him do some things. You know, mm-hmm. That was the whole build up when Detective first started after Rebirth, and it kind of went nowhere. He went into the the other universe, and then he became what the heck was his name? Savior. Like the weird future version. You're like, no, you're almost there, man. And you went too far.
Yeah, you missed the turn.
Yeah, the best things that I've seen with the Robins lately has been when they're all just basically like brothers. And Tom King, again, bringing Tom King up again, he did a really good job at balancing their personalities and in short little scenes. You know, he has them all. Even with Duke, like adding Duke into the mix too.
Yeah, that story arc where they found out that Batman was engaged, like that whole thing, like the character interactions were like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they can have even Jonathan Kent and Connor Kent together as well. They could be brothers. Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know, like, or cousins basically is what they'd be, right?
Yeah. I mean, you could,
I don't know, man. I wouldn't have a problem.
That's a new Super Sons where it's both Superboys.
Oh. Yeah. But I love the dynamic of Robin and Connor. Like,
oh, I know. Me too.
They killed that dynamic, you know, like
Damian as the foil to someone else who's just like good. And like,
yeah,
like, I mean, I don't know if it falls under needing more love or attention, but Dick Grayson, Batman, like was just excellent. Not that that needs to be an ongoing thing, but just throwing that out there. It makes me think of that, like the dynamic with him and Damian.
Yeah. I just think what happens is when you don't have a really great idea for pushing that character into legacy, then just don't do it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think then they get lost.
For sure.
They just do. Or if you have too many, you know, like I'm okay with killing a character off as long as, you know, there's this gravity to it. 'Cause you know, you kill every Robin off, you kill Damian, you kill Tim, we kind of killed Tim. And then they come back and you're like, so who are we rooting for? Who's our guy? Because I'm confused, you know, unless you're able to successfully merge them into like Nightwing. I think he's done good as legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if he's legacy. He's the first ones, but the legacy, like even like Red Robin, Jason Todd, kill him or not, like he stands on his own. He's got a fan base. He's who he is. Tim's lost in the shuffle. I can't think of any other ones, but I know I've talked about this before, but James Robinson's and Jeff Johns' JSA was a great example of how to deal with legacy characters. Mm-hmm. Every one of them had ties to the JSA, and I think they did a great job. So check that book out.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we're talking before we move off of this about the things that we have seen done well when it comes to legacy, I think Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel, and Miles Morales, Spider-Man are like two of like the very best. Like that is someone that's taking on a mantle, but doing it in a way where it feels completely their own. And there is a space like carved out for them.
100%. There you go.
Boom.
All right.
Question answered.
That was a long question. Yes. All right.
It was a long answer. It was a very short question.
Yeah. Here's from Pud with the potential. Check out his, he writes for Let's Go. Check out his Fermentation Fridays on Fridays. Hey, with the potential establishment of a multiverse for DC, which I think they've actually established a multiverse with the crossover. You know, once Ezra Miller shows up on Flash, that all exists. TV shows. Yeah. So with the potential establishment of a multiverse for DC TV shows on CW, Zack Snyder's Justice League on HBO Max, Reeves' Batman as its own thing, Wonder Woman and the rest, Abrams doing his thing. Does it feel like too much, or is it like ice cream and there's a flavor for everyone? Ah, man, I like that question a lot.
It's good. There's a lot to discuss there, because it's not like this easily answerable. Sure, you can have your opinion, but I think if you're looking at the forecast of things, I mean, there is an aspect of, because of all the stuff with Zack Snyder's Justice League and all that kind of stuff we talked about, it was like, who even knows at this point? Like, we thought we knew. But My take is that I think it's fine that there are things for everybody, that there's like different flavors. And I don't think that it's like what people have thrown out is like superhero fatigue and stuff like that. I was like, I just don't think that's a thing. There's been stories for coming up on 100 years now. So, I mean, like, I mean, give or take a decade, but
like there's 20 years.
Give or take like 15, 18 years, whatever. But all that being said, like, I do wonder if it's just going to get to the point where it's so saturated and there's so many options that people are just going to tune out of some of them. And so then what happens is it becomes, I wonder if it's going to be either better stories that are more appealing or more gimmicks to try to get people's attention to watch their version of things. I think the idea of the multiverse is great because I think it gives like so much freedom for a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
I just wonder about consumption, if it's just going to hit a tipping point at some point for content in general, not even just like DC's multiverse specifically.
Yeah. I love the idea of ice cream just because, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed. You see so much stuff out there and you're like, you know, I'm not even going to try, you know, that weird peanut butter cookie dough, you know, mint thing. Like that just, you know, I'm done. Like, and for me, that's like the CW shows. I will pop in here and there. They're just not for me, is what I'm learning. Like, I just can't, like, when we make fun of it, but they're very, the formula is old to me. You know, the only show that I've seen on there that I feel isn't that formula is Black Lightning. Everything else is like the same team, like break, you know, kind of set up and
totally
the drama. And I get it. They're serials is what they are. And they have to keep telling stories, but I'm like,
but there's a way to
just not into it.
There's a way to do it right and to do it well though.
Yeah.
Like if you want to talk about serialized storytelling specifically, and you want to talk about TV specifically, I'm not even talking about like a show for like teens and adults. I'm talking like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 2012, 2013, whatever it was. Like that just consistently grew and changed and built upon itself in a way that was really compelling. And it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fresh on my mind because my kids and I are like, that's kind of like our show. We do like a couple episodes each night. And so we're going back through that. I'm like, dang, dude, this is just so good. And so it is possible to tell this in a way that doesn't feel like taxing. I think that's what it is. Like, I'm the same way when it comes to CW. I want to watch the Flash show. I want to watch the Flash show. But I think what is going to be, does it feel like too much or does it not, is how much of this is going to be an ongoing commitment. Because I think that affects like what people are able to engage with. I think that's what makes the movies easier. It's like, I'll go see a movie 1, 2, 3 times, whatever it is, but that's not, I have to track 20 episodes for 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. Like that's, I wonder how much that's going to be a thing. Like I think of like how incredible, I still don't even know if you've watched it yet, but Watchmen, like just one season, you had a set amount of episodes.
I'm still episode one.
and it was excellent. You know, one of the best like things on TV I've ever seen.
So going back to flavors, some people, that's their flavor. You know, they want to keep watching, you know, the CW shows and that's their thing. You know, I can pick or choose. I wish they were the seasons, if they would cut them in half to like 12 episodes and then maybe bring more things into. But the thing that I want to get into is I get there's a multiverse, but after a while it's like, well, what is what? What belongs to what? Like, I can get it. I can navigate that. But I see someone who maybe they get HBO now and they're watching, you know, Batwoman. And they're like, oh, where does this fit? Where does this fit for me? Or doesn't even matter? Because then you get, you know, Doom Patrol. And I'm even confused with that because Doom Patrol came out of Titans. But like, according to the multiverse thing, which they reset everything. So maybe that's it. It's on a whole different world. You know, or maybe this is a different version of the Doom Patrol because there's a different chief. You know, there's things like that, which they don't keep me up at night, but they do start to like, well, they're starting to pull on threads. I'm like, well, what's what? You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so I think at that point you're like, well, what fits where? And then you see like the CW, they're getting Swamp Thing, which we talked about before, but does that impact what J.J. Abrams is going to do with Dark Universe or Justice League Dark, right? Or is he not just, oh, I'm not going to use Swamp Thing? You know, and
yeah, I think maybe that's a question
Matt Ryan, Constantine, yeah.
Sorry, I think that's like that's like a question of maybe a little broader question of how much does continuity matter to people outside of the kind of regular fandom? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think honestly, like I think if I can go off of like, say like my wife and my brother and like if they'll see something and it's like this pre-existing thing and they're not sure like where it's coming from or if there seems like there needs to be context at all, they're more likely to probably just skip. Do you know what I mean? If they're, but I don't know if they're thinking like, well, how does that fit? And how does that, I was like, I don't even think they get to that point. But I think for fans, it's fun because we like to see how things fit and we like the Easter eggs and we like the call outs and the kind of references and stuff. I just don't know how much that factors in for most people though.
Yeah. Yeah, true. They may just like, oh, I'm just watching it.
I think for me, it's just an actual, like literal, like I only have the time to watch and commit to so many things and so many different services.
I have to watch The Office again. The Office is on again. So
I don't even get to that. Right. I watch Harley Quinn once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what else I get to. Like, but not much more than that. And so to think like I need to get HBO Max, I need to keep up on CW, like I don't know. Maybe it's partly the pressure you put on yourself too.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, right now I'm watching Stargirl and Harley Quinn and that's about it. I'm kind of curious about S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back. I thought it was canceled. So
yeah,
I'll watch the last season of that. All right. Next question. Nick asks, WB calls you up and gives you the option to A, cast and write your own Batman movie. B, write your own comic book with your favorite comic book artist. What do you do?
Dude, the idea of writing either of those things is terrifying because I'm not a professional writer, but having to pick between the two,
but you have to because they called you.
Oh, it would for sure be
hello. This is WB.
Hello, WB.
This is the HBO WB. Max. Hey, this is
Sausage King of Chicago.
That's right.
it's for sure for me. Write your own comic book with your favorite comic book artist.
Okay, who's your artist?
I'll leave the casting and writing a Batman movie to other people. That's I feel like that's not only been done so much, but I'm like, that's such a minefield for interacting with people. Yeah. It's like, no, thank you. I'll just skip all of that.
Okay, so you'd write your own thing, and who would illustrate it? Gosh. You have to answer that.
Come on, that's so tough, dude. I mean,
I already know.
Well, I know. Okay, Francis Manipal is my favorite artist. Like, that's just who it is.
There you go.
But it's hard because there's so many good artists out there. Like, I immediately thought of like three or four other ones. I'm like,
Maybe each arc has a different artist.
Dude, yeah. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because I think when you're writing a comic book, I would be more interested in doing something that's specific to comic books that only comic books can do. With a character that's not locked into an expectation like Batman is. Such varying expectations. It's locked into an expectation, but really it's a individual expectation for every human being that cares about it on the earth. So,
yeah.
What about you?
Ooh. Yeah, I would go over A. I would write and cast my own Batman movie because that's something I think about and I'd be like, here's how I would do it. So that's what I would take. I would love option B, but A, I'm like, oh man, how fun would that be to make my own Batman movie, you know, and do the things that I want to do that are my Batman things. Cause I feel like I think I would make a lot of people happy and maybe a few other people not happy, who knows. So, but I don't want to get, that's a long thing that can become a long answer, but that's what I would do is A.
All right.
And so if you ask me right now, my Batman probably just can be Affleck. Hey man, come on back. Come on back. Let's just keep telling some Batman stories. So, all right. I'm going to save Emmett's for last because that'll be a nice one to close with.
All right.
All right. We got from Batboat 77, always jumping in. Do you think the box office failure of Birds of Prey has made WB think they need to go bigger with their DC properties? And that's why they are investing in the Snyder Cut in bringing back Cavill as Superman. Man, we kind of talked about that.
But I think to answer the actual question,
yeah,
or first part of it, I would say no. Like, I don't, yeah. I don't, I, this seems like it's just something separate to me. Like, yeah, we talked about these conversations have been going on for months, so I don't think that was a big factor for them. I'm sure they're considering but I'm like, the timeline doesn't line up for me to think that that would make much sense for that. And I don't know if they think they need to go bigger, because to counterpoint the box office failure of Birds of Prey, you can counterpoint that with the success of Joker.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think they kind of even each other out. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's a great answer. Yeah. The timelines don't really line up. You know, these conversations have been going on since November, probably before then. You know, if they met with the cat in November, that means, you know, they're probably discussing it before then, you know, internally. Yeah. So, I don't know. They've seemed reactive in the past. Now it doesn't, I think they're trying to, like, you know, pave new ways and try different things. And so there you go. And
they're still reactive, as far just as, in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. In a different way. I think more like, well, let's, you know, not cut things out of reaction. Let's, you know, do something a little different. As far as bringing back Cavill, I don't know if Cavill is going bigger, because it's not like he's a draw. You know, I think we like him as Superman. I'm a huge fan of him as Superman, but I don't think he's like, oh, Henry Cavill is Superman, I'm going to go see that movie. Because Man of Steel, you know, hit like almost $700 million. Again, we've talked about box office before, BVS and Justice League, they didn't, you know, they none of those cracked a billion. And that's kind of like the benchmark for these comic book films. And so I don't think Henry Cavill is putting the butts in the seats. And so I don't know if going big is bringing him back. I think it's just, hey, the fans like him. Let's stay with him. Why reboot Superman right now? It doesn't make any sense to reboot the character. Let's just tell good Superman movies. We have a good Superman. Let's try that. And I think that's mostly what it is. So,
yep.
Cool. All right. Insert name here. 416 says, which writer and artist would be in your dream comic hookup, and which characters? Ooh, I don't even know how to read that question. So
there's a few different ways.
So which writer and artist would be in my dream comic hookup? So is this am I hooking up with this writer and artist?
I think we're getting into fan territory here.
Are they hooking up?
So the artist is hooking up with the character.
And which characters? No, I'm going to interpret this as, what writer and artist would work on my dream character? Is what I'm thinking. I think that's where this question is trying to go.
Yeah, dude.
But it would be fun to say, hey, these two guys, how y'all doing? Mitch Garrett's Tom King. I know y'all love each other. That's my answer. I'll just say I would actually
Mitch Garrett's and Big Barda.
There you go. No, I would actually love I'd love to see what Mitch Garrett's and Tom King do on Daredevil. Boom. I would love that. Man. I have a lot of artists that I like, but I just think they're a really good team.
Yeah.
They tell good stories together, and I love Daredevil, and I would love to see them crack that. Boom.
Dude, what a good... Oh, man, what a good thing. Okay, so here's what I would say. I'm just going off the cuff here. So Matt Rosenberg writing, Chris Samnee drawing The Flash.
Oh!
I would read the crap out of that.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. That's a good one, dude.
Thanks.
Good job. I commend you on that answer.
I just want Chris Samnee to do more comic books in general.
Yeah, dude. What's up? He's like, hey, I'm doing a sketch on a napkin. And that's great.
Well, did you read the prelude original graphic novel to Firepower, the one he's doing with Kirkman?
Did I read that? I think I did, actually.
And then you get a first sneak peek at the regular issues on Free Comic Book Day.
I did. You're right.
Man, that's been what he's doing right now, which I'm down. And then he has his creator own thing that he's doing.
Yeah.
Which comes out who knows when. But yeah, that's what I would do for a book. I would love to see my favorite character.
Yeah, that's a nice little Marvel DC swap too. So
yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah, and I'd like to see Tom King do something at Marvel again, and Mitch Gerrits do something at Marvel again. It's been a while for those guys, and so I think they're DC. They're DC exclusive. Like Gerrits was on Punisher for a bit, and you know, obviously we talked about Tom King on Vision. So yeah.
Yeah, I know Gerrits. I think he it was just a few months ago. Like he re-upped.
Yeah.
To be DC exclusive.
Yeah,
and it's hard, dude, because I want to see Doc Shaner do some stuff. I would love to see Otto Schmidt do a Flash book. I feel like he would be freaking rad.
Well, but I think I don't think he's exclusive to Marvel, though, so he can do it.
No, he could.
He's been doing some fun Hawkeye and Green Arrow, like little like drawings he's been putting out.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun. So, okay, yeah. Our last question. Emmett Davis, the man from up north, the myth, the writer. Check out his reviews. At the site, what was the best decade for comics? Oh, man. Like that's in my lifetime or just in general?
I mean, I would say in general. A decade is a long time. A lot can change.
Yeah. It's like when music. Like, man, music was really good.
The history of comic books. It's like, well, I mean, part of that decade was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What are you thinking, dude? I'll let you answer this one first.
Oh gosh, dude. I see high points and low points. Like I said, I was gonna say it's like music. Like, man, people say, oh man, the 90s were so good. And like you go, yeah, oh yeah, we had like Nirvana and stuff like that, and the Pixies. And then you go further on down the years, and you're like, oh, but then we got Limp Bizkit. So you have to like, what was the best output? You know? I feel like every decade that I've been reading comics, which I would say, you know, 90s on. You know, to be, you know, I think I read a couple comics in 89 when Batman came out, but I wasn't like investigating and reading them, you know what I'm saying? Like I made it my own. But based on what I know and what I've seen and what I've experienced, I would say, I wish that, you know, I wish I was a little older so I could have been in the midst of the 80s comic stuff because so much cool stuff was going on. You had like, the Burn X-Men, you know, the Fantastic Four, the everything that got rebooted at DC at that point seemed to be really exciting. Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, like all the Frank Miller Daredevil stuff was going on. It just seemed like some really great stuff was happening. Like the comic industry grew up. Like it, in the 70s, it started to take itself serious, but then in the 80s, it grew up and was like, okay, let's make comics like. Like, I think it became an art form then. That's when you had the birth of Vertigo. You know, a lot of indie books started coming out, like Ninja Turtles and stuff. I think that's when comics, I would say in the 80s is when comics grew up and became, you know, kind of what they are now.
Hmm. Man. It's tough because I want to say the 90s is just fun just because it's so freaking crazy. Like just it felt like everything was kind of like on the table. Like, what do you want to do a character of? Sure, man. Like, let's do it. But quality wasn't quite there all the time. I think there's a part of the early 2000s, like those first 10 years that has a special place for me. Because that's when I came back into reading comics. Really. So I remember Civil War that happened then. I thought that was just a really cool concept at the time. I think you had, that would have been Grant Morrison's run on X-Men, right? Like kind of redefining them. Like you had, it felt like 80s, like redefined a lot of things. 90s, it was just like, let's just try everything. And it was very gimmicky and over the top and extreme. And then early 2000s, it was like another redefinition. It felt like a reexamination of characters. Mm-hmm. I think across the board too. But that's when I started reading more DC stuff too. And so Green Lantern Rebirth, was that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was 06.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's just something, maybe that's just personal for me. Like, I don't know if that's the best historically, but I was like, that felt like another shift. And it almost feels like it's like every 20 years, there's these shifts for whatever reason, culturally.
There was great stuff that came out then. Cause you know, again, Civil War, things like that. Civil War was a little earlier in the 2000s, you know, like, but Yeah, there was some really cool stuff going on. I think every decade has some pretty great stuff. When I think of the 90s, I just think of holograms. I just think of multiple covers and all that stuff was fun. You know, I ain't gonna lie.
Foil covers, die cut, like all those things.
There was great books that came out, like Starman came out during that time, and you know, the Morrison JLA, the Batman books were really good during the 90s. Same with Batman, same with Superman books. So I think every decade has its good stuff. I think it's just like, I think like what you said, your experience is what made it great for you. And so
Yeah. And I think like but the 80s is really, really good. I mostly brought up my decade because I didn't want us to just double down on one.
But yeah. No, that's fine.
The 80s, like, because, I mean, well, you think, like, I grew up an X-Men kid, so if you think, like, Claremont and Byrne, like, it's just, there's an era there. You know what I mean? Going into the Jim Lee stuff even, like, there's just something special there. For sure.
Yeah, when I think of the X-Men, the first thing I do kind of think of is that Jim Lee Claremont era, but then I'm like, oh yeah, but the Byrne stuff looked really cool too, you know.
Oh, for sure. And Claremont was writing both of those, right?
Yeah, he was part of both, so he definitely had his hands in the X-Mansion. How you doing there, Wolverine?
I feel like Deadpool would make a joke about that.
Yes he would. He's like, hey,
you got your hands in there.
Those aren't pillows. All right. That was good. All right, man. We'll do some Q&As again. I love Q&As because they kind of get you talking about some random things and some fun stuff. So.
For sure. That's fun. Thanks for the questions, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. And if we didn't get it to it, we will do them again another time. So, all right, Matt, we're going to wrap this show. So, Matt, people say, hey, I disagree with your thoughts about Superman and Snyder cuts and Flash.
Yeah. Then you let Justin know. That's the answer.
Then you let me know. So how can people hit you up, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, Matt, he is a very respectable person and man, and he is never going to like be insulting. So he would welcome a good debate because he will engage thoughtfully and kindly.
Oh, well, thanks, Justin.
And I will be try. Snarky.
And Justin, be a dick.
No, I think I just like to have fun. Because I'm like, comics should be fun. Talking about this stuff should be fun.
Oh, yeah, you know? Dude.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're in an age now where you can't even like say, oh, you know what would be really cool if there was a Ben Affleck Batman show? Because then you're like, well, that will never happen because he said he's walking away. Okay, I get that. I know he said he was walking away from the role. I'm just saying it would be cool to have a Batman HBO show. I'd be down for that. But he's okay, fine. You know, I'm definitely not delusional to say, oh, he's doing it because he's, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League's coming out. All of a sudden everyone has a show on HBO Max now. That's not what that means. Anyways, I'm just I like to have fun. That's all I want to say. So hit me up, J_Rocca. You can follow the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Instagram and Twitter. You can visit our website at www.letsgopodcast.com where you can listen to this show and the Let's Go podcast. Do us a favor and head over to the merch tab, buy some merch, buy a shirt, support the show. That'd be a fantastic thing you do. But here's what we really want you to do. Matt, we really want them to do this. We want them to leave us a review. Leave a review on the iTunes store, podcast store, whatever it is. Sub the show, download the show, but leave us a 5-star review and some words and we'll make a song and we'll play it on the air and we'll even send it to you too. That way you can have a nice version. So it'll be good,
man. These promises grow bigger and bigger every week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna make album for you. We will write a rap album for
oh my god. Justin's watched that Beastie Boys documentary
that's right, dude. I watched it too many times. I'm like, all right, we can do this. It's gonna be our hit. So oh man, how funny would that be? Like we do like a review and we make it a beat,
oh my gosh,
make a song, and then it becomes like some dance, you know, some dance hit, and then like we don't make any money off of it because whoever wrote the review gets the writing.
Oh man, gets the writing.
That would suck. All right. Anyways, that being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.